Hello, everyone, and welcome to the revival episode of The Focus, the Bradley Scouts news podcast. I'm your host, Valerie Vascones, news editor for The Scout.
And I'm Madeline Marilegro, one of the copy editors for The Scout.
Madeline recently covered a banquet hosted by Sigma Lambda Gamma Sorority. The event mainly focused on being an ally to the LGBT community, and we're here to talk about that today. But first, event briefs. The Society of Automotive Engineers will be hosting a car show on Founders Circle on April 9th. There will be food, cars, and more. The Bradley Esports Committee is hosting a nostalgia game night on April 7th in Markin Room 38 at 6 p.m. They'll be playing games on the Nintendo Switch and Wii. Visit 5 local businesses and get a punch card filled at each stop for a chance to win goods from the East Peoria Spring Shop Hop. Happening April 9th, participating shops are on the Picker's Daughter Facebook page. Get ready to rock at the Knot Fest at the Peoria Civic Center. Slipknot, In This Moment, and War Wage are performing April 7th. Tickets are starting at $35 on Ticketmaster. Musical performers Surfaces and Tyvedas are the next acts visiting Bradley for ACBU's Reese's at Renko on April 8th. Tickets are $20 for students. So, Madeline, I know you had recently covered the Empowerment Banquet. I've actually gone to these myself, and they usually change the theme for each one. Can you tell me a bit about this year's Empowerment Banquet?
So, for this year's Empowerment Banquet, they chose to cover how to be a better ally to the LGBTQ community, which means they cover different topics such as learning to be an ally, how to grow as an ally, how to better educate yourself, and they also had 4 panelists, all part of the LGBTQ community themselves, and they shared really great insight on what they want to see from people who want to call themselves an ally, and they also opened up a lot and became very personal with their own stories. Three of them were also transgender, and they shared a lot of insight on that part of the community a lot of stuff I didn't know about, so it was very great to learn about different parts of the community more than I already knew.
And, you know, not just, like, the Peoria community in general, but I noticed, like, a lot of those names were actually some of the Bradley community members themselves.
Yeah, so we had a professor from, I believe, the Gender Studies Department, and we also had a student who helps run Brave Space, which is an LGBTQ kind of community who also hosts different clubs called Common Ground, where they meet and they discuss different events that they could plan for the community and also just to educate people on the community itself.
So that's honestly, you know, great to see, you know, this kind of topic kind of hits really hard, knowing that it's our peers, it's our educators, you know, teaching us about allyship and how to be a better ally ourselves. But I can imagine, like, these topics were, I mean, looking at your article, these topics were pretty heavy.
Yeah, a lot of stuff I actually had to cut because they, like I said, they went really personal. So they shared their own experiences that still scar them today. So it was hard to listen to, obviously, because I thankfully have never experienced that, even being a part of the community myself. I grew up in a pretty progressive town, which I am thankful for. But hearing different stories of people who might not have been so lucky to grow up in a progressive town or have people really attack them for who they are, it was hard to listen to. And even listening back when I was doing quotes, it was empowering to me to listen to them be so open and share all of that.
Also, as a member of the community myself, it was really great to see an event like this just sort of happening and forming, you know, learning how to empower LGBT members and such. And I want to know what kind of were, like, the biggest things that they were sort of sharing, because I know the LGBT community in the perspective of a bisexual cis person. But there was really, like, as you said, there were a few transgender members themselves, so I kind of want to know what's maybe allyship for a trans person that might be different than a person who's gay, lesbian, bi.
It's definitely really different. One of them was a black female to male transition, and one of them was a black male to female transition. So they shared lots of statistics with that. And the other one was a white female to male transition. Basically, with that, they look for allyship not only in people who are cisgender, who are heterosexual, but also within the LGBTQ community. They talked a lot about showing up for each other, no matter your sexuality, your gender, and who you are as a person. If you want to be an ally, you really have to show up and you have to educate yourself. One statistic that really stuck with me, or one fact that really stuck with me, was about how much violence there is against POC transgender women, because a lot of times they don't make it past a certain age. So it's definitely more about educating yourself on the topic. Listening to them was another point that they made, and just being there for them. Alexander Martin, who is a transgender woman, shared how she went to one of her friends and just ranted and just unloaded everything, and how it was really beneficial because they were cisgender and they didn't really understand, but they just created a space. So that is what they really want to look for, is just create a space for people, just listen, educate yourself. So
wow, yeah, absolutely. You know, they talk about how to be an ally, but I'm kind of curious if they ever talked about how to not be an ally at all, maybe, just because I know there's different ways, you know, you could empower LGBT members, but I know one way is not to put LGBT people in danger. Just because you want to live your truth doesn't mean you are in the most safest space. Just one example, to be yourself. So I want to know, like, maybe if there was something like that that was ever mentioned, like, how do you know, don't go about it the wrong way.
They definitely cover that a little bit. It was talking about using different pronouns. Like, if a person is only kind of out to a few people and they're like, hey, I want to start using these pronouns, but, like, you're the only person who knows, don't just start using them randomly in front of others, because, like you said, you never know if it's a safe space or if it's a dangerous space. So you can't, it has to be on their own accord to start telling people, telling the world who they are.
Okay, so honestly, it's really great to see these sort of, like, you know, events happening, you know, as you know, LGBT members. I had personally came out through a column of mine. Mm-hmm. I just felt like it was time to be me, to be genuine. And it's kind of great to know that you're in a community that wants to either know how to support you, or is trying to show how to support you in some sort of way, just to kind of make you feel at least relatively safe. It is, I will say, Peoria is a smaller town than what I'm used to. So do you want to share any experiences, Maddie, as a member of the community also?
Sure. So, like I said, I grew up in a more progressive town, so it was, I guess, easier for me to come out at first. At first, I had a long journey with finding out who I actually was, and I didn't figure it out until I came to college, so I should probably start with that before I go telling my experience. So when I first came out, I came out as bisexual, like, my freshman year in high school, and I stuck with that, but I didn't really tell a lot of people. I think I told, like, two, and I left it as that, and then I eventually told my parents, like, summer before junior year, which is when I got into my first ever relationship, which was with a girl. So then, through that, it was, like, a lot of society's pressures on me to figure out, because I know there's a lot of stigma with being bisexual, like, a lot of people say it doesn't exist, which is not true.
Have to pick a side.
Yeah. So I really led into that, unfortunately, and it caused a lot of confusion within myself. So I ended up coming out again as a lesbian, just to kind of fit society standards, which kind of put me back in a closet of some sort, because I knew that probably wasn't who I was. And then I came to Bradley. I was single at that time, so I was just like, okay, time to figure out who I am, because I wanted to, like, not stick with the lie that I was kind of telling everyone.
Right.
And then I met my now boyfriend, and I came out as pansexual, because I realized that gender didn't really matter to me, and more so mattered who the person was. Like, it doesn't really matter to me, and that I just like you for you. How I explain it to people who might not know what pansexuality is I just like people. So, essentially, I just like people.
Just like people.
I just like people. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, as long as you're a good person, like, I like you.
Wow. That's honestly kind of a little bit of an opposite of story of mine. sort of, in the beginning. Like, how you thought, you thought you were bisexual. I always thought I was straight because I knew I was boy crazy because I loved One Direction.
Yeah.
Growing up. And so I thought, well, I'm obviously boy crazy, so I must just like boys. And it's so weird because I grew up with a mom who was... I'm obviously here. She was with men for a good while, and then she started dating girls, like, well in, like, my early childhood years. So, for some reason, I still felt the pressure to pick a side.
Yeah.
And stick to that side. So, it wasn't actually until my, when I was boyfriend-girlfriend with my now husband that I realized, like, hey, Baby, I do also like girls. He was thankfully very accepting of that. And, you know, we're still together. So, yeah. I don't need to explore girls to know that I very like them. And I think they're very pretty. You know? It's like, that's another thing, too. Like, you always feel, like, the pressure again. Like, sort of just like you feel the pressure to, like, oh, well, how do you know? Sort of just, like, prove yourself.
Yeah.
Right? But back to allyship. It's Peoria. People say Peoria is, you know, a pretty small town, or big town, depending where you're coming from in Illinois. But to me, a small town that's pretty, you know, conservative. So I think allyship, the ideas are just kind of changing in this city. And I think that's going to be a lot more comforting to potential students in the future that identify as LGBT.
It's knowing that you will find a space here regardless if you are in Common Ground or not. Like, I'm lucky enough to have friends who support the community and are always willing to learn how to be a better ally throughout things that I might tell them or their own research that they have found. But for, like, any incoming students or transfer students or even people who have been here for, like, a year or two now, they will have the comfort in knowing that people on this campus are learning how to be there for them and will continue to learn how to be there for them throughout their, like, years here.
Absolutely. And can you imagine how comforting it also might be for probably alumni when they come back and realize how much has changed? Maybe they weren't even out. Can you imagine? Like, they didn't feel comfortable in small town Peoria to still be who they are. Or, you know, didn't discover themselves. And maybe that'll be a chance for them to even, you know, come back to the university and feel like, hey, a lot has changed. Like, I can feel like I can be proud of who I am and also call myself, you know, Bradley alum.
Yeah. Because I know Bradley itself is making changes with working with Common Ground and Brave Space. I know that they just raised the LGBTQ flags for, was it Coming Out Day or...
It was probably Coming Out Day.
Okay. Yeah. I know they raised the flags that we have in Alumni Quad. They raised, I believe, rainbow flags, the bisexual flag, transgender flag. And I'm also looking out the window right now, and there's a lesbian pride flag in one of the windows that we can see.
Oh, yep.
So if that isn't Bradley itself changing, the students changing in, then I don't know what is.
If you didn't know, we're... in Sisson, and we're right across.
This is Wyckoff.
Wyckoff. And I believe one of the floors is the one of the inclusive floors to welcome students, you know, that are, like, gender non-binary, trans, LGBT, which is also a really cool thing.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that. That's, once again, Bradley opening its arms to more students and accepting them and giving them their own space, too.
I think it's really great how it wasn't just white, gay, lesbian, trans voices being highlighted, but also people of color. Just because that is an entirely different and new experience in itself. I wonder if they possibly went into, like, maybe their own cultural backgrounds also talking about, you know, being queer, gay, lesbian, trans.
they kind of touched on it, but not in the way I expected them to. So they covered it with talking about the countries that their ethnicities are from,
right,
and how they can never go and visit and learn about their history,
wow,
because of their sexuality, because in those places they are considered illegal and they will get executed because of it. So they can't even learn about their own culture because of laws restricting them from doing so. So they definitely touched on that and how kind of terrifying that is and how heartbreaking it is that they can never learn about their own history because they're not allowed in their country.
Wow. That's a pretty tough one,
mm-hmm,
right there. And yeah, that is something that white people just, they never have to, they never realize, mm-hmm, what kind of advantages, or like, yeah, they may be scared of getting kicked out, being banned from their family, but they will most likely never fear execution, especially going to the motherland. And I think that's what hurts most, being rejected by, you know, the motherland, just because of you wanting to be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
So what type of work should really these allies be doing to, you know, push rights of LGBT people forward? What should they be doing?
So they definitely talked a lot about this with their own experiences and with people that they know in real life. So firstly, while it's great to post on Facebook or post on social media about how proud you are to be a supporter, how proud you are to be an ally, that's not real work. You actually have to go out there and show up for people. For example, Dr. Reed, who works here at Bradley, discussed how people should never have to ask allies to show up to different events. Like, they should never be asked to show up for a protest or show up for a march or even just the Pride Parade. They should want to be willing to go and support their friends and support the community if they want to call themselves an ally. Another thing they touched on was how members of the community don't always have to be the educator, and it gets tiring to be the educator, especially when you already have to deal with coming out to everyone multiple times. Go out, if you want to be an ally and learn to be a better one, go out and do your own research. If you have questions, research it first. But if you want to obviously make sure you're not going to offend anyone, then go to your friend who's in the community, ask for their point of view. But definitely educate yourself by going to different LGBTQ sites. They gave one in the panel, I believe it was the Peoria Proud website, where they had resources. Or just look for different LGBTQ resources and websites in your own area, because there should hopefully be one. And they give a list of resources. They give definitions of different words used within the community. And they organize different events that allies could look into. So essentially it is show up, be educated, and listen to be a better ally, to do your work.
Now let's talk about what you kind of briefly just like, mm-hmm, brought up at the start of that.
Okay.
Being on social media and saying something is one thing, but if you have, like, you know, the privilege, because obviously, you know, there's safety that can also be a concern, and especially, mm-hmm, if you're a minor, too. My goodness. If you're a minor, do not put yourself in danger, but if you want to show up in ways you can that is safe and won't put you at immediate harm, do that. But if you have the privilege to not worry about rejection from family and being homeless immediately or abuse or such, show up. You know, there's only so much you can do on social media, and sometimes people don't, you know, they don't feel the impact when things are online. When you're in person, you are a physical person taking up physical space, mm-hmm, showing your support. It's different.
Yeah, you get to be there. You get to see how whatever issue you might be protesting, how it affects the different lives of people. And you get to really see that, obviously, if you aren't in the community and you don't know how hard-hitting a new law might be or how some change in a school might be. And you go and you show up, you get to see the real-life effects. You get to see the impact that it has on people. And it gives you a new meaning of being an ally.
Thanks for tuning in on this revival episode of The Bradley Scouts, The Focus. To read up more on this article, look up Sorority Host Speakers on the Importance of Being a Better Ally on the Bradley Scout website. I'm your host, Valerie Vascones.
And I'm Madeline Marilegro.
We'll see you next time.